Hello everyone, welcome to Toonami Therapy, today on February 3rd, 2022. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we are here to, as usual, talk about some of the anime we've been watching, some of which is on Toonami. So, let's see. I guess we'll just jump into it. I don't have a good snappy opening. I feel like I had an idea for one, but I forgot to write it down. So we've gotten Blade Runner Black Lotus episode 12. I think I have these, I think my numbers are wrong that I wrote down here. So so let's see. Basically what we've gotten here is that once again I have trouble remembering exactly what happened in this episode. You know, I am looking at a synopsis of this episode. The episode I saw, and I'm thinking, I can't remember most of this.
Yeah, it was a pretty dull episode, that's for sure. I mean, there was a few good moments, which I said it's probably the best, even though it wasn't really that good. But, yeah, these characters, they went all out trying to make them look realistic, but they don't act realistic. And I think that's my biggest problem with this show.
Yeah. I wish I had more, but this episode is such a blur to me for some reason. I wasn't all that interested in it. I kind of feel like this year, once it got past the plot of her, the best part of the series was when it was just going through the plots of her just trying to get revenge one by one on the people, and then once that was finished, the series kind of felt, well, I'm not sure where we need to go now. So it's not quite as interesting, unfortunately. All right, we'll move on to Assassination Classroom episode 28. The class decides to, while preparing for their exams, to also train. So they decide, we're going to be jumping from, like, on the rooftops to other rooftops. To go faster, except then when they're jumping down, it's not clear to me whether they were intentionally jumping down or whether they were trying to jump to another rooftop and didn't make it away, but they crash into a guy, and then they decide, okay, well, I guess we have to, you know, do his job and stuff and pay him and take care of stuff, and then that's basically the whole episode.
Yeah. I feel like this show has run out of ideas. It better get to the whole plot about Kuro-sensei destroying the world pretty soon, because I just feel like there's just nothing interesting about this, because we know they can't kill him. They can't assassinate him. So, like, what are we even doing here, you know? I just hope that we can finally get to the point where it's like, okay, now they're either going to assassinate him or the world's going to end. But none of this other silly stuff like this episode has, you know?
Yeah, my note on this episode was just, that episode felt pointless. That was just my brief note on it. So, yeah, it didn't feel like it was particularly important. I guess it had the point of making it so that there is a reason why because they were dealing with this stuff, they weren't able to study, so they didn't do as well on the exams. I guess there was that point. But other than that, it really didn't accomplish much of anything, nor did it really even fit that well with the series, it felt. Right. So after that, go on to Made in Abyss, episode 3. So, what's her name? Riko, that's the name of the girl, right? I think. Anyway, so she, after getting that letter, is deciding, I need to descend into the abyss to find my mother. And the episode is basically them preparing to do that. And then they do. And that's the episode.
Yeah. And this is the part I fell asleep. Because I woke up the next morning and I'm like, and I look at the chat room. You're like, hello, anyone there? And I was fast asleep. I got bored to death by this episode. But I was really tired anyway. So it really wasn't the episode's fault that I fell asleep like that. But yeah, nothing really exciting going on here.
Yeah, but I still like the episode insofar as that it seems like we are starting the plot now.
Mm-hmm.
So my hope is that we will be getting more interesting after this, because I don't know, this is just a series that I just keep getting always seeing all these positive reviews for. And I'm thinking, I mean, it's got to get really good later on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if it does or not. But we do have some good things. We've got a goal and a plot, and we're about to start on that. And I am interested in what is in the abyss. So them deciding we're going to go to the bottom of it is nice. So despite finding the episode itself kind of boring, it does give me a lot of hope for where it'll go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. After that, we've got One Piece episodes 519 and 520. So essentially we get plot-wise first, Chopper runs into which are the two he runs into. Was it Usopp and Nami, or was it someone else? He gets the fake straw hats mixed up with the real ones and gets upset at them because they're all acting selfish. So then he finds the real ones and they say, no, those are fake ones. He's like, oh. So that was pretty funny, especially when they point out, what, you think Robin would just get abducted by the government that easily? So we get that stuff. We also have Brooke performing the song, except then, because he is still a wanted criminal, which explains why he's going up on stage in front of everyone, I guess. Uses the opportunity to run off. So basically, we've gotten that. We get a bunch of comic relief with some of the characters along the way. And it's basically still them meeting up a bit more, but the Navy, now knows, oh, hey, these guys are coming, and the Straw Hats are there. Well, initially, I think they got it mixed up. They thought the fake ones were real, but now the real ones are there, so they're going to be closing in, so our heroes got to make an exit.
Yeah, I feel like I've asked you this question before, but, who's the Navy?
So the Navy basically is, it's basically sort of the police force of the world government. They're kind of good and kind of bad. They're good in that, there are like pirates who are actual threats to people, and they want to, stop those, and they keep and stuff. But they're bad in that the world government in One Piece is kind of not the greatest, and also they're perfectly willing deal with or to side with a bunch of other pirates. There's this group they call the Seven Warlords or whatever it was. There's like all these different translations for it, of pirates who basically sort of have their bounty suspended, and the world government basically, and the Navy basically turns a blind eye to all of their activities. And such, which was some of like the villains actually in that case. So like, for example, you didn't see it, but like Crocodile was one of those, and they beat him and managed to save Alabasta when, you know, the Navy was not doing that at all. They were like, well, he's one of the warlords, or was he, or was it someone else? I think he was. So we're leaving him alone, and that kind of stuff. So basically they're kind of the, they're not exactly good, but they're not exactly bad either, for the most part.
Yeah, it makes sense. I just never got why they're called the Navy, yet it says Marine on their clothing, you know?
It's, or wait, no, they're the Marines, not the Navy. I'm sorry, I got it mixed up. They're called the Marines, I think. Or maybe
they're called the Navy in this episode.
You're right. They are okay. I'm getting myself doubly mixed up, I think. Sorry, you're right. It does. I never mind. I was getting myself mixed up. That was a problem, I think. Let me just double check on that quickly to see something. I think the wiki says that they're called the Marines. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on with that. So I can't remember exactly if they're Marines or Navy. I think it's one of those things where it can be translated either way.
Okay.
So I'm looking at it. Yeah, it's telling the Wikipedia, it's telling me like the official English names. It says that the edited Funimation dub calls them the Navy, but then it also says that Funimation calls them the Marines. So I'm not really sure exactly which it is. But in either whatever, that's the organization, Marines or Navy, whichever it is. Might as well argue about whether it's a scout regiment or the Survey Corps in Attack on Titan. Okay. Anything else?
No.
All right, that covers our Toonami stuff. Right, we'll be moving on. We're trying to go through things a little faster this week because we do want to get done a bit early for some to deal with some to have because there's some stuff to do. So we're on next. We're on to Bobobo episode 7. So in order to try to get the cure for the hair loss beam for beauty, they go into the Hair Hunt C block base. They have a brief fight against a guy and beat him. Then they need to go through the other like floors, which turn out to just be a video store and another video store. And then they finally get to the next one and come across the Soften, this guy with an ice cream head, who's going to be their obstacle. And yeah, that was basically the episode. A lot of very silly stuff happened along the way.
Yeah, I like that part wherever he puts the coin into the washing machine. And that was pretty funny.
Yeah, well, Don Patch is in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a funny scene.
Yeah. There is that one thing that I found a little interesting. So this is a very silly and random show. So there's not terribly much of a plot, but there actually is one plot twist that comes by. There's one genuine plot twist that happened, at least one that happens way later in the series. Like literally after the anime ends, the anime didn't get to that part. And it's actually briefly foreshadowed here. And I'm like, in this episode, and I'm like, oh, huh. I guess he had that planned for a while.
I have no idea what that is, but that's okay.
it's fine. It's not even that big of a thing. It's just the like one thing that actually is kind of an actual reveal of something that isn't, you know, just a crazy gag. But I'm referring to the locket when you see Soften look at it. That's all. If you don't remember that, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Other than that, yeah, it was just pretty silly stuff. One thing I guess I did want to mention is the fact that, so in the anime did do a bunch of edits to the manga, because and one of the things was that in the original manga, Soften, his head, he was, his like ice cream head was chocolate flavored, so there were a lot of poop jokes about him. Like the whole, like Don Patch, like freaking out and getting confused. That's like the joke where he's talking to Bobo and he keeps like telling him, you know, that it looks like, well, poop. And he's like, there's a guy with a poop for a head. And, whereas here he's just like acting weird because it's ice cream, which to be fair is still also kind of weird. So I honestly never really cared for that kind of joke anyway, so I'm actually like the way he looks here more. But at the same time, it did make that scene make a little less sense, but I guess it didn't make much sense to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I think weirdly my favorite joke though was when Don Patch is trying to tell Bobo about Soften, and he's like listing all this stuff. And he was there renting some movies from the classic movie section. And Bobo will punch him and says, "Lies! Nobody rents classic movies." Okay. All right, and that's Bobo. We'll get on to Ascendance of a Bookworm, episode 5. So, they end. So, let's see. In this episode, they're still trying to. Yeah. So, in this episode, I was thinking because I was trying to make sure that what I was remembering wasn't in the previous episode. So, Mayan decides I'm going to try to make another way to write things. So this time, she's like, I'm going to carve into wood. Except then her mother mistakes it all for firewood and burns it. So. there's some stuff about, I can't remember his name, the boy she spends a bunch of time with, like he wants to be a merchant or something. Mm-hmm. There's some, her sister was going, so apparently they keep mentioning how when people are like, I don't know, 7 or whatever, they get baptized, which, no, it has absolutely nothing to do with, like, you know, the Christian rite of baptism. There's not even water involved, mm-hmm. I don't think. It's just, hey, now you figure out what profession you're going to enter into. And I'm thinking, then why do you call it that? Like, I mean, I get the idea of taking something that means like a word and using it for something different, but there's no connection at all. If you want to, like, even if you wanted to pick like a religious thing and kind of repurpose it, why not like confirmation? That would make perfect sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, we get that, and yep, that's basically the episode.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good episode. Probably my favorite so far. I remember that when I was young, I put a bunch of pieces of paper, stapled them together, and I thought I had written a book. Well, I spilled some Coke on it, and my mom threw it away. And I was so disappointed because I'd written this entire book and now it was gone. And that was kind of what I thought of whenever she had all that stuff written and her mother just threw it into the fire. So, yeah, that was a pretty good episode this week, actually. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it just does kind of feel, though, that it is being a little repetitive. You know, it's just, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to try this. Okay, that didn't work. I'm going to try this. No, that didn't work. I'm going to try this. That didn't work. I'm going to try this. Nope, that didn't end up working either. So, yeah. That's the... I don't know. I'm just waiting for a goal. And... Because, I mean, I guess there is a goal, like, oh, she wants to write books and stuff. But we haven't really seen how she's supposed to get there is the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a long way from being having a chance at happening. I know what you mean. And the thing is, I guess if they got to the part where they have books too soon, then the show would probably have to end. So they have to kind of pad it out until, you know, CX Lee is able to get books. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. Although I'm not even sure if making the books is like supposed to be the end game. That might just be like a step, and then it's because I want to make more books or get them to people, or maybe there's more stuff going on. I just wish we knew more about the direction it was going, because so far this has almost felt kind of it's felt almost kind of medieval slice of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the obvious, once again, the point we've kept making is the way it feels like Dr. Stone, except Dr. Stone made progress constantly in regards to what it was doing. That was one of the strengths. Like, it was like stuff always happened each episode, it seemed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, not necessarily fair for me to compare the series to that when we're not even at like the point where I thought Dr. Stone became good in terms of episodes. Yeah. But it still did seem, even in those early episodes, there was stuff that was happening. Speaking of Dr. Stone, they gave one of the most recent chapter had one of the most, I actually want to mention this, the cliffhanger is almost kind of hilarious. So basically, without going into what's going on, they've managed to actually figure out like where, like they sort of found, they've got to the place where, you know, the petrification, like who or what started it, and they finally get to that thing. Like, we're in the end game in the manga right now, and this person's like, they managed to see it, and one is saying, all along it was you, and that's where the chapter ends. And I'm just like, okay, that's literally, like, and I'm thinking, okay, that's a cliffhanger. It's kind of such a, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of funny how much of a cliff, how they just like, it was you, chapter end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so we've gotten that. At least it's a weekly series, so we'll get the answer in a few days. But, yeah. Yeah, much better than a monthly series.
By the way, has that golf thing gotten a second chapter yet?
I have no idea. Let me just check. I never really paid too much attention to it. I just noticed how crazy the title was. Let me just check to see. I'm not even sure. Maybe I should see what magazine it's actually in. What we're referring to is, you know, the case of me, a pro golfer, being reincarnated as my little sister's putter. Says there's just one, but I'm not sure what series it's actually, what, like, magazine it's in. So I'm going to be, I think it might be a web, it might be, like, a web manga that doesn't, I'm looking at the official Japanese site. Oh, there's 10 chapters of this out. It's just that only one is translated into English.
Oh, wow.
It looks like let's see, the most recent one, chapter, there's an 11, I don't think it has necessarily has a set schedule for these things. It might, like, there's one, it was, so chapter 9 was taken out on December 17th, and then number 10 was January 28th. So it looks like it might be somewhat of a monthly series. Some of these ones, you know, come out every, they don't have like a regular schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it looks like they've got 10. It's just only one is in English.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've gotten that. So moving on to something just a little bit less silly. The Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works episode 4. So, wait, was it 4 or was it 5? I think it's 4, yeah. Okay, it's 4. Sorry. So, Rin took Shiro home, but then just says, well, we'll be enemies when we see each other again, or whatever like that. And I'm just thinking, well, probably not considering it's your route, but... the other thing I'm just, well, I'll say this about this later. Anyway, so he's, so since he can't make, like, he can't, I don't know what they call it, like, you like how you manifest the servants, the thing you do when they, to make them disappear, demanifest or whatever. anyway, he apparently can't do that because he's not enough of a mage. Saber says, well, I won't tell you what my actual identity is. And he says, oh, why? And she says, well, it would be, you know, a spoiler. And he says, well, wait, wouldn't a lot of the people have watched Fate Zero and known that? And he says, well, yeah, but not everyone would. and then he says, wait, we're breaking the fourth wall. I need you to give me an actual in-story reason. And she said, oh, it's because someone might be able to read your mind because you're not that great of a mage. And then they would find out. So... we get through that. So he's just going to be staying with her, apparently. So she's going to be staying with him. For some reason, they don't seem to come up with a fake name for it. He just calls her Saber in front of people. Yeah. Which is, I don't know. I just think they could have picked something. So we get that. Meanwhile, Rin and Archer determine that Caster is someplace nearby and that they have to deal with them. And Archer is saying, well, why are you ignoring Shiro? And Rin, again, just says, well, he would be easy and we can end it. But if he approaches us again, we'll kill him. And I'm thinking... you know, there's actually a perfectly good reason to not go after him. The fact he's actually on semi-decent terms with you, so he's not likely to attack you, and you might be able to use him as some kind of ally. Of course you shouldn't be killing him first. You've got like 5 definite enemies and 1 kind of ally. Don't get rid of the ally. I just find it a little weird that she doesn't mention that as the reason. But anyway, that's basically, that's Fate Stay Night, Unlimited Blade Works.
Yep, and I'm kind of confused that, okay, you're going to fight to the death anyway, like, I don't know, I guess... I mean, it's obvious that she blushes whenever she's around him. So, you know, there's something more than just wanting an ally, you know. But I just wonder, like, does she realize that he has to die in order for her to win, you know?
Well, no, she straight up mentioned that, like a few episodes ago, she's saying she was like, because, you know, he was being told that everyone, like, you have to like kill the other masters, and she was saying, well, wait, don't you just, that, you know, points out that doesn't seem necessary, wouldn't you just have to get rid of the servants? And they're and she and Kirei are basically say, well, I mean, yeah, you could, but the way it all works is that if the master is still there, they might be able to get someone else's servant. It could still be a threat. So yeah, you really do need to kill them because of that. So yeah, she definitely is aware of that. Although, like I mentioned, as Shiro pointed out, you don't technically need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. She probably might have at least this point still some kind of crush on him already, maybe. But it's just weird to me that she doesn't, even when defending the decision not to go against him, use what seems like a much more reasonable explanation than, I don't know, whatever she said. So, this was decent. I guess someone could say that it was mostly sort of a transition episode. And, well, he's got Saber and here's the status quo or something like that. And then we find out something about Caster, and I guess we'll give more next episode.
Yep.
All right. Anything else to say about it?
No, not really.
Okay. All right. I guess we can jump into our top three ranking stuff then, if you want.
Yeah. This week, for once, it's a lot different. And let me bring up my spreadsheet here. Okay. It's kind of been the same things. In fact, the top show has been the same all four times this year, but not this week, because this week, third place will be Fate Stay Night, second place will be Ascendance of a Bookworm, and first place will be One Piece. I really enjoyed the whole Tony Chopper thing where he got fooled by the fake straw hats and got all upset because they weren't acting normal. I think he's just so cute, and it was pretty funny, and it's good to see the band back together again. Even though you have to understand, whenever we were watching it, I finally got everyone's names memorized, and now I have to try to re-memorize their names again. So I'm still trying to do that, but I think I got them all now. So by the way, is Usopp's voice actor the same as Kuro-sensei?
I'm not sure. Let me check quick. I don't think so, but I could be wrong. Let me check quick. Let's see. Jason Griffiths says Sonny Straight did it. Which was he? Was he? Okay, you are smarter than me. It is the same voice actor.
Okay, yeah. They sounded so similar that I was like, it has to be the same guy.
Okay. So, yeah, we've gotten that. For me, it will be... Let me just briefly think this. I will put Ascendance of a Bookworm in third place, then One Piece in second place, and Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works in first place.
Okay.
That will be those. So I know that I said, well, I'll finally talk about what I thought of all the anime stuff I watched, because I had the bright idea of trying to watch at least one episode of each of them that premiered this season. But we kind of are in a little bit of a time crunch this episode, so I'm going to put it off again for, what, is this the third week in a row? If you want the very... I'll give the very, very quick thing. If you want to know what it currently, and this might change maybe if I watch more, I think my three favorite of the series that premiered this season in the services I have would be, first would be, Miss Kiroitsu of the Monster Development Department. Second would be In the Land of Leodale, and third would be Sabikui Bisco, or Rust Eater Bisco, as I've seen it translated. There, that's your preview for next week.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? Maybe it'll change. There are things that could be moved around, but that's a brief one, and we'll get into more of that next week. Probably. Maybe.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. That has been our discussion on anime. So if you're just here for the anime, you can quit listening now. Now I guess we'll just discuss The Amazing Race. Episode 5 of Season 33, if we wanted to say anything.
I knew as soon as we saw that preview from last week where it was like, oh, Ryan, Dusty, you're going to be in trouble. I was like, okay, so it's so obvious at this point that what's going to happen is they're going to make a huge comeback and get all excited about it. And, of course, that's exactly what happened. I wish that reality shows mixed it up a little bit. Like, every time you see someone who is really struggling, then you know they're not going to get eliminated. So that was kind of frustrating to me because it was like, okay, we know what's going to happen with them. I'm still not picking them to win, though. I still think Lulu and Lala are going to win this thing. Just from the edit. And although my favorite team is still Raquel and Kayla. So, this episode was pretty good, but it was just so obvious what was going to happen. And the interviews made it pretty obvious, too, because it was like the couple who got eliminated weren't very happy when getting interviewed, so it's like, okay, obviously they got knocked out, you know.
Well, you're smarter than me, because I was thinking throughout the episode that they were trying to, maybe I overthought it, but I was thinking, oh, they're doing this stuff, they must be trying to build a narrative of how they were doing great, but then they're going to lose this challenge, because I'll always remember that season where Rob and Amber won the first four legs and then were eliminated, so mm-hmm. But in this case, but I did kind of start midway through the episode, started realizing, oh no, I don't think these guys are being eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of obvious with a lot of these sorts of things, you know. Maybe I should try to watch Big Brother again. 'Cause one thing about that show is because it's sort of live. It's not exactly, well, actually some parts on the show are live, but I mean, the people who edit it, the episodes, they don't have the whole season in front of them, and they don't know who's going to win. They have to make their decisions just each time, and quickly. So they can't build these same sorts of things like they could for that. So that makes me wonder if maybe watching it might be a bit of a different experience. Although it's the celebrity season, and I didn't actually recognize a single person on it. So
I recognize one.
Okay. I'm going to guess the former NBA guy.
Oh no, I recognize him too. I was talking about the figure skater.
Okay.
I've seen her perform in person before. So I know the two athletes. That's all I know.
Yeah, I don't... It's really not that much of a celebrity. I mean, that's the thing for most, supposedly celebrity stuff tends not to really have people that are that notable.
Yeah.
The Masked Singer was a... When I look at the lineups, that's a little better. There's still a bunch of people that I don't know, but there's more people that I do know. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll check it out sometime. We'll see. But that's the thing is, if someone's a bona fide celebrity, they're not going to sign up for being in the Big Brother house for 3 months or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They've got stuff to do. Okay. We've gotten that. And although, from what I remember, back when they had, remember the Celebrity Apprentice?
Yeah.
That series actually did get a number of people who were, like, more notable or famous. Like, they had, like, guys like, you know, Gilbert Gottfried or George Takei. I'm looking at a list and I'm like, oh, yeah, some of these people actually are pretty darn famous.
How did they get these guys on that show? I guess that was before Trump was toxic, before he was radioactive.
The Celebrity Apprentice, that one was airing. It was like way back in the day. It was like that was from like 2000. These things were filming like in 2008 or like to 2000. I think it went into like 2000. There was a lot of that. Although I think Trump. Yeah, the last one was recording in 2014, so that was the part where he started making more waves and stuff, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, for most of that, you know, he hadn't gotten controversial yet. Yeah, they did try for one more season after Words, where they had Arnold Schwarzenegger in charge of it. but he, like, wasn't interested in it afterwards, so they just kind of gave up on it. Okay, so we got in. So there's that. But, right, The Amazing Race. Was there anything else? Oh, here's something actually funny. So I was watching it with my father, and he, like, I think he missed the first few episodes. He'd only seen this and I think maybe one or two episodes before that. And, you know, Ryan and Dusty, the best friends, he thought they were, like, in a relationship with each other. And I'm like, no, Dad, it's not. It says they're friends. So... Yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens with them, because they have been doing so. They've gotten first. Before this, it was always first or second, and this time they got third, and that was after they fell behind, so. Mm-hmm. And, wait a minute. Did we see the speed bump?
No, we didn't.
Huh.
I don't think there was a speed bump. I think it was that they had to start third. They had this, like, you had the two go, and then you had the three go, and then the third leaving time was the people who finished last episode. So.
Okay.
Yeah. But there could have been one. You know, they could have cut it out.
Yeah, because... So. You mentioned the one in the previous speed bump was cut out and we didn't see it.
Right.
It makes you almost kind of wonder why even have it then. I've kind of always felt that it's kind of unnecessary, because you're already, like, in a disadvantage by being in last place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like the speed bump thing simply because, like you said, you know, If they're already in last place, then there's more of a chance they're going to finish in last place, and we'd rather have, you know, a little more excitement there, you know?
Yeah, well, it's still an improvement over what they did in the early seasons, which where the penalty for a non-elimination leg was that you in each leg, they were always given some amount of money for... It wasn't for airplane tickets. Those that were automatically covered. But for, you know, stuff like taxi fare and stuff. So people wouldn't get any. So then they'd have to go around begging people for money so that they could ride taxis and stuff. And it was not very interesting to watch. And I have to wonder if there might be some legal liabilities there, too. But they kept up with that for a while. I don't think they... I think it was, like, around season 5 or 6 that they, like, changed it to something else. I can't... remember exactly when they introduced a speed bump.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is my thought. You're already in last place. You're at a disadvantage. You don't need to add an extra one.
Yeah.
All right. So that's basically everything, I guess. So, right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.